Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome in, everybody, to the final Jacob Draft special edition here on the show, wrapping up day three of the NFL draft, where the Philadelphia Eagles drafted eight players. Yes, I'll say that again. Eight players today, bringing the total to 10 drafted players. Here I got John McMullen with me, JF McMullen on Twitter. Make sure you guys give him a follow. The number one Eagles beat reporter in town. A long day for you, Johnny Mack, but eight new players added to the Philadelphia Eagles roster. How you doing on this Saturday evening, brother?
Yeah, well, it's a grind. It's always I'm running on very little fuel. I think everybody is when they get done these things. But yeah, I think it's going to come across very well. Day three of the draft for the Eagles. I talked about it yesterday. It was kind of a disappointment to people, I think, and we talked about that. And one of the things I said is people like volume, so they got a lot of volume today. So you can tell me dealing with the chat, but I bet you they're very happy today because of all the volume.
Yeah, no, definitely a little bit more excitement in the air. A couple of the picks, though, John, what do you think of them? You know, you got eight picks. I thought Ty Robinson was a nice pick there in the fourth round. What do you think of some of the selections that they made today? Obviously, a lot of weapons for Jeff Stoutland today, Johnny Mack, on the offensive line. I will say this, John. Based on talking to you and you teaching me, you know, what you've taught me about the game of football, you know, I used your phrase, some worthwhile shots, I thought, in the sixth round. I thought they had a nice sixth round in terms of, you know, you're throwing darts in the sixth round. I thought they had some good dart throws. What's kind of your takeaway on the overall day three haul that the Eagles had?
Yeah, I think they did a nice job really in the fifth and the sixth. I think the fifth, they went, which I think I said before, I think they went two for two with some nice dart throws. Not that they're going to develop, but I think there's some obvious upside to Smile. Mondin, it's pronounced Smile. Mondin and Drew Kendall. We just got done talking to Howie. He mentioned his dad, Pete, an all-pro player at one point, and the bloodlines, the genetics, they tend to be more ready to play. And he called it a center-deficient league, and it is. If you know, I don't think people in Philadelphia realize it because they've been so good at center for so long.
Right.
But it's one of those positions that there aren't a ton of centers. You see it every year. There's not a ton of centers in the draft. And so I think that was a nice pick, not that they need a center. But you know the Eagles' philosophy of you know, trying to draft good players. And I think they may have gotten one with Drew Kendall. And then in the sixth round, Kyle McCord, I'm very excited about as a developmental quarterback, probably more than I can remember from a developmental quarterback standpoint. I think he's got a chance to be an NFL starter down the road, probably not here, but down the road if everything goes correctly. I liked that. And I also liked a double sort of carpet bombing tackle with Miles Hinton, another bloodline player. Yeah. His dad with Chris Hinton.
Yeah, his dad was a really good player. He's in the Colts Ring of Honor, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the best offensive linemen of his generation, his father. And then Cameron Williams is a big tackle who was really a lot of college production, but maybe doesn't have the footwork and athleticism you typically look for. So Howard's pretty honest. You know, when you're drafting people lower, there's some deficiencies that they have to work on.
Yeah, the thing with Cameron Williams, John, is, you know, he only started 1 year, and he was a junior. So I was wondering, like, if he stayed another year, I thought he might have been a much higher pick, you know what I mean, if he stayed that extra year. But he kind of came out early, and I thought that might have hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of room to develop, and you know, with NIL, you know, maybe some guys should decide to take that extra year at times. But, you know, everybody's in a different position from standpoint, obviously offensive tackles aren't getting NIL quarterback money. So
exactly.
There's a lot of, you know, life problems that, that make players make that decision. But, and then Antoine Powell, Ryland is, you know, sort of the opposite of some of those edge rushers we're talking about way at the top who just have this crazy ceiling, and but they didn't produce in college. Like, he produced in college, but, you know, people look at him and say he's just not the type of athlete where that's going to translate. So that's why he fell to where he did. But, yeah, I thought it was, you know, everybody's made some sense. And I think, you know, it, people should be happy about the day three haul. I don't think they're all going to develop. You know, and we didn't even talk about Ty Robinson, who, you know, I think he's the guy who's going to be in the rotation right away. And Mac McWilliams, you know, that one, I think maybe they could have gone in a different direction, but they're looking for, you know, as I talked about, you lose Darius Slay, you lose Isaiah Rogers, you lose Avante Maddox, you got to repopulate cornerback. I think that's the one I may see a little bit of reach in, trying to find that need, but, you know, you're nitpicking at that point.
Is that the pick that they took right after Shedeur Sanders went?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you able to get any information on that, John? Because as you mentioned, they did take Kyle McCord later in the draft, and the Browns jumped above the Eagles to pick up Shedeur. You know, any confirmation on whether the Eagles were in on the Shedeur sweepstakes?
Well, Howie said he doesn't want to talk about other players from other teams, but I think it's pretty clear that they were.
Right.
And I tried to get him. I asked about Kyle McCord, and then Martin asked him directly. I was trying with the Kyle McCord question. I sort of phrased it as, you know, it was surprised to a lot of people you were interested in quarterbacks, and he didn't bite. He gave it to Nick, and he just talked about the player. And then Martin asked directly about Shedeur, and gave him an out, though, and how he took the out, which is, I don't want to talk about.
They're media savvy down there, John.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any question. Look, people around that I know, that I can confirm. People around the league thought the Eagles were going to take Shedeur Sanders at 145. And that's why Cleveland traded up and drafted him there at 144, I believe. So that was the thought around the league. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it true. And I imagine when we get some off the record time with Howie, he'll give us some more information at some point. But certainly other people around the league thought the Eagles were the team that's it was going to say, all right, at this point the value is too high to not take the player, even though they didn't need a quarterback.
John, I want to talk to you about Antoine Powell Ryland. I'm calling him APR because I can't say that name too many times, but you know, I thought from a dart throwing perspective, that was a really good pick. He had 16 sacks last year, Johnny Mack, at Virginia Tech, 25 and a half in the last two seasons. He's 6'3", like 238 or 240. What did you think of that pick there? I thought in the sixth round, a guy that had 25 and a half sacks in the FBS in the last two seasons, shoot, I'll take that chance.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite as you. That's the one I didn't like. Simply because I don't think he has the traits of an NFL player. Like, this is a trait draft, you know, the Eagles up top. Now, they're in the sixth round. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I used to have this argument with Jody all the time. I don't give a rat's ass about college production. Like, yeah, when you talk about the first round, you know, and everybody would say, well, Shamar Stepan didn't produce at Texas A&M. And, you know, this guy produced at Virginia Tech. Still, you know, pretty high level ACC. And I'm not talking about level of competition. He was a darn good college football player. But there's a difference. And there is a major difference between even high level college football and the NFL. So maybe I'm overstating it. I'm not saying it's not important, but just because you performed to a high statistical level at the college right. level does not mean you can play. There's a lot of things that can play into that. You know, he was the best pass rusher on Virginia Tech, so they were probably building the whole defense around him and trying to get him free looks and things like that, versus, you know, playing in Texas A&M with four, you know, high level people next to you and trying to do different things. So, you know, that's why NFL teams get hyper focused on, all right, this guy's got that huge upside, and, you know, and sometimes they fail. Like Tim Tebow would be the best example of, you know, that's one of the greatest college football players who ever lived.
Yep.
And they drafted him.
Johnny Manziel is another good one.
Yeah, I think he was number 16. Well, Johnny Manziel was more of, he was a mess off the field, you know. Yeah, he was a great college player, but he didn't fail because I think he would have been fine if he didn't, you know, have a bunch of drug problems and stuff, you know, off the field. I think, more of a Baker Mayfield type, but I think he could have hit that type of ceiling. And Baker's a good quarterback. But he just had so many issues off the field. Tim Tebow was, like I said, phenomenal college player. Could not play in the NFL. Just didn't have the traits to play in the NFL. And he was still a first-round pick because of his college production. But in the case of Powell Ryland, I thought it was interesting because this whole draft was about trades for the Eagles, and all of a sudden they went to production at the very end. But, you know, you're running out of players to pick at that stage of the draft. So I have no problem with the pick. I don't think there's a ton of upside to the pick is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you. I understand what you're saying. John, three offensive linemen added today. You know, you got the center, Drew Kendall. You got Miles Hinton, who we mentioned, and you got Cameron Williams. And my question to you there is, holy mackerel, Johnny Mack, how many depth offensive linemen does this football team have? You think about Tyler Steen. You think about Kendall Lamb. You think about Matt Pryor. You think about Trevor Keegan. And then the three draft picks today. And then you got the four guys who are all under contract with Max with humongous deals. So, man, they got a lot of offensive linemen, Johnny Mack. What do you think of the darts they threw on the offensive line?
Yeah, how we talked about that. He said, yeah, we'll never stop adding to the offensive line. And, if you know, it's not about all of them hitting, but if you get one or two of them to develop. Right.
Give Jeff Stoutland a collection of them and see what he can do with them.
Exactly. And, you know, you'll probably be – you know, the one issue with having this many picks is, and Howie doesn't like to cut his picks. So, you know, are you able to fit all 10 on the 53-man roster? I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, when you talk about Miles Hinton and Cameron Williams, like you just want one of those two to hit and potentially become that heir apparent to Lane Johnson. And you probably got two, maybe 3 years to work with him. And just let Jeff Stoutland cook. And, you know, the Eagles seem very high on Drew Kendall. And they always want, you know, like I say, they have the best, they have a Pro Bowl center, and the best center on the team is Landon Dickerson. I always joke about that, but they don't want Landon Dickerson to have to move if Cam Jurgens gets hurt. They don't want to put that on his plate. So, because he's maybe the best left guard in football. So, you know, if you get somebody who's a true backup center, that's a positive, because Howie also explained we always talk about it being an offensive line deficient league, but if you even boil that down, of all the positions, the most deficient is center. There's a handful of good centers in this league, and most, probably 24 teams are rolling out average to below average players at center.
Yeah, so good stuff there. Johnny Mack, going to the quarterback, Kyle McCord. We talked about him a little bit together earlier today. How do you see that quarterback room playing out? Because you do have Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who they just traded for. He's got 2 years left. You do have Tanner McKee. He's got 2 years left. Now you bring in a young gun, Kyle McCord, obviously a four-year contract he'll be given in the draft. How do you see kind of that position shaking out? Is it Tanner McKee at two and Kyle and Dorian are fighting for three? Are all of them up, you know, in the battle? Could Tanner be traded? Like, how do you see that playing out with the quarterbacks?
DTR, we hardly knew ye. Yeah, I think it's going to be really difficult for Dorian Thompson-Robinson to be part of this team. Longer term, you know, I think the hope would be like next year, you know, Tanner McKee to play well in the preseason and you know, if he has to come in for a game and a half, like Kenny Pickett, to play well and then spin him off and then move Kyle McCord up to quarterback two. But, I mean, Kyle's got to do it. You know, at the end of the day, he's a sixth-round pick now. We always talk about, you know, a lot of people thought, hey, maybe he'll go in the third round. They said the same thing about Will Howard. He did go right ahead. I think Will Howard went like four spots after.
He was 181, and then Howard was 185.
Yeah, so four spots after. So right around this weird. Because I always thought Kyle was better, and I was surprised that Ohio State went in a different direction. But it's hard to criticize them because they won the national championship. Yeah, right. But I mean, Kyle set every ACC passing record there is. As well. So it's not like he didn't perform at Syracuse. And they won 10 games. And, you know, they don't often win 10 games recently, Syracuse. So he turned that program around. I really like him. I really like him as – I don't want to overstate it, but he knows how to play the position. And I think that's a big thing that's getting lost. Like, you have a bunch of these young quarterbacks that come in who are just phenomenal athletes, and it becomes – all right, go play sandlot football. Go, you know, bunch of people.
And you're better than everybody else on the field. Yeah, exactly.
And just go make a play. And that frustrates coaches because, you know, you can't build an offense on go make a play. You know, it can be spectacular in the moments, but you can't build a consistent offense that way. And I think, you know, guys who understand how to play the position, especially young quarterbacks who understand how to play the position, are rare. And that's why I liked, like, if I were day three looking for a guy who, you know, could potentially develop into something, I always focus on the guys who can process quickly. And that, to me, in this draft was Dylan Gabriel and Kyle McCord. Those were the two guys. And McCord has better physical skills than Gabriel, who's just so small.
Yeah.
But he's fine from a size standpoint. Now, he doesn't have great athleticism. That was the whole thing and why Howard had more athleticism. And now that they drafted Kyle, I did a little bit more research. And they actually wanted him back, which I did not know. Ohio State wanted him back, but they wanted more competition to kind of push him. And at that point, he made what he described was a business decision. It probably hurt him in some NFL team's eyes. Like, he didn't want to compete, blah, blah, blah. So that might have hurt him a little bit. But I just think he can play. And ultimately, you know, what year are we? I'm tired. What year are we?
2025.
In 2026, I expect him to be the Eagles' backup quarterback.
There you go. I agree. John, I do the thing that you said about him that I do like as well. Like, he'll stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield with pressure in his face. So he does have that ability to play, like you mentioned, doesn't rely on the athleticism over the top. So good stuff there. Johnny Mack, the draft is concluded now. They're already signing some undrafted guys. We'll get into them at some point. But no tight end. Johnny Mack. There was a little rumblings now that came out today. They're trying to work out a deal with Goddard. I don't know if that's true or if it's not, or if that deal will come to fruition, but what are your thoughts about them not drafting a tight end at all in this NFL draft? It appears the top 30s were right in that they weren't going for a tight end.
Well, I don't know if that was the case. I mean, Howie talked a little, he was asked a question in a couple different ways because of what's going on with Dallas, and you know, I hope both sides are coming to that conclusion where, all right, let's run it back for one more year, because I think it would be good, certainly from the Eagles' perspective. But I think Dallas is probably out there, you know, probably there isn't a deal that he and his agent were expecting to get. So at some point you have to admit what your value is. And I think this is the best spot for him. Like I said, if Dallas Goedert was playing anywhere else besides Philadelphia and the Eagles didn't have Dallas Goedert, and you said, you have a tight end of that talent who's 30 years old, on a final year of his deal, what team would be the perfect fit for him? It would be the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, I mean, I don't know why they shouldn't come to a middle ground. I think they should. Hopefully the draft, now that it's over and Shane Steichen got Tyler Warren, so the Colts are out, you know, at some point you got to come back and say, all right, let's just do the best we can, get through this season, try to win another Super Bowl, and then get to free agency. And, you know, when teams are flush with money and budget, and go about it that way, like Josh Sweat did. Josh was a little bit younger, but, you know, he'll get more money that way, I would think.
Johnny Mac, I always like to ask you, you know, you've talked to, I think, most of these players. I'm not sure if everyone or not everyone yet has done a press conference with you guys, but did any of the players stick out to you? Anything that any of them said that, you know, are worth noting to the people? I always like to get your take on kind of, you know, just talking to the players. I think you get a better understanding of a guy when you can talk to him, or at least hear him elaborate on some questions. Any key takeaways from the pressers with the players that made you like a player more, or maybe not like a player as much? Anything from that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Ty Robinson was, you know, he's the MVP for the most impressive, you know, he's pre-med. He went to school. He said pre-med, he wants to be a doctor when football is done. He wants to be a pediatrician. He took 19 credit hours at one point. And he's playing at a high level at Nebraska. I mean, think about the utilization of time. Think about the time management skills you have to do to get through that kind of crunch. Just a really impressive. I think Brookover, my buddy Bob Brookover, said the same thing. You know, he said he hates his job when a 23-year-old kid comes on your interview and he's more accomplished than you. he is a really, really impressive person, Ty Robinson. So, you know, I don't think work ethic or any, I don't think he's going to fail for a lack of work ethic or a lack of efforts. Just really, really impressive.
There you go. Anybody else, John, that stuck out outside of Ty?
Everybody's got some interesting stories. I mean, you know, if you think about Andrew Makubu was in the building today getting introduced with his jersey, and just, you know, anytime you see somebody emigrating from a foreign country at a young age, and,
right,
you know, they don't even know what, again, I always say, football is a very uniquely American sport, and, you know, come from other countries, you don't even understand the game, understand anything about it. So, you know, to take up the game, and he sort of fell in love with it when he's about 12 or 13. And, you know, here he is getting drafted in the NFL, second round pick. So, you know, there's a lot of stories like that. Everybody's got their individual story. And, you know, Kyle McCord, obviously, as a quarterback, is more used to, and a high-level quarterback in college, he's more used to dealing with the media. But the fact that, you know, he's from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and he went to St. Joe's Prep, and, you know, obviously that's going to resonate with the Eagles fans. And, I, you know, he grew up with the McNabb jersey and all that kind of stuff. So, that's certainly going to resonate with the Eagles fans.
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot, and the Eagles love promoting that stuff too because they know the fans will all eat it all up. All right, Johnny Mac, I appreciate, man, all the work. I got one last question here left for you. And you reserve, obviously, the right to change this. I mean, we all know we're the day of the draft just ended, everybody. So you can't really make major proclamations. But as it stands today, are there any of these players that you would say are guaranteed, like, make to the roster, and then maybe some bubble players and then guys who are kind of fighting an uphill battle to make it? How would you kind of, you know, group these players, you know, in that way?
Well, most of them are going to make the roster. I mean, that's just what the Eagles do. They don't like to cut their draft picks. Now, the problem is they have so many draft picks that it's going to be difficult to keep all 10. But obviously, I mean, Jahad Campbell's got nothing to worry about.
Andrew, yeah, I wasn't even thinking Jahad and Makub. I was more talking day three guys.
Yeah, I mean, the vast majority are going to be on the roster. Ty Robinson's going to be on the roster. McWilliams is going to be on the roster. Smile Munden's going to be on the roster. Drew Kendall's going to be on the roster. Kyle McCord's going to be on the roster. And then from there, you got guys, the last three, you know, probably only one of the two, Miles Hinton and Cameron Williams. And then you'll hope to get the other one on the practice squad. And Antoine Powell Ryland, probably going to be, I would say, just because of the numbers game, probably more of a practice squad guy, but they'll try to keep them all. Some might, three at the most, might have to go the practice squad routes. But the vast majority, the Eagles do not like cutting their draft picks.
10 of them, though, man, that's a lot. I was saying, John, I don't even know if they're going to sign any undrafted free agents. Now, I know they already have. There's been a couple. But I was saying, I mean, you already got 10 bodies, plus all the Temu signings that we talked about on Birds 365. They got a lot of new bodies out there, man.
Some of those Temu guys got hurt today. You know.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And that's some didn't, and some did. But the bottom three are the ones that are in danger. I would say nobody else is, barring injury, of course, you know, and then you're talking about injury reserve anyway. I would say the top seven are pretty safe that they're going to be members of the team. Think about Anaya Smith's training camp last year as a fifth round pick, and he made the team. You really got to.
Yeah, you got to botch.
So I did the
exercise of grade it, and then if you'd have to go up or down, what would you do? And I went with a B, and then if I had to go up or down, I'd go to a B+. You think that's fair for me to grade it there? And I'm not sure if you'd be willing to put a grade on it, but if you would, where would you go?
Yeah, you know me, I hate grades, but I like day three more than I like the top picks. I think the top picks are, you know, there's a little bit of a boom or bust type mentality, I think, at the top of the draft. Now, remember, when you say boom or bust, there's a chance for boom, but there's a chance for bust. And part of it is you're projecting very small players into positions that maybe they need a little bit more size. I'm not as high on the early round picks as probably other people, but I'm very high on the upside of the day three picks.
There you go. Two supers, and then we'll let you go, John. Josh Stalter says, John, did Gabe Taylor sign? Conflicting reports.
Have no idea. I've been busy doing other things, so I haven't gotten into that aspect of it yet.
Josh, thank you, man. Jim West says, APR, let's go. Comp is Reddick. He's got all the moves. John's not going to like that comment.
Come on, dude. Who's that? Who is that?
Jim West. Jim, you're getting roasted by McMullen.
Hassan Reddick? Oh, my Lord. Boy, Hassan, you're lucky Hassan's not here. He'd be giving you a dirty look, my man.
I tell you what, I'm happy that Jim was able to get a chuckle out of you, though, John. It's been a long couple of days of work, brother. Yeah. We appreciate you doing it, Johnny Mac. Thank you so much, man. The draft coverage that you provide is invaluable to the people who listen. I think they appreciate it. I know I certainly do. John, well done, brother. Go home, get some rest, and we'll talk to you on Monday morning on Birds 365. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening all weekend.
Yep, great numbers, John. So well done by you, man. See you, John.
All right, see you.
There's Johnny Mac, man. John McMullen, one of the best in the business. Absolutely. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at JF McMullen. Can't thank him enough for the grind that he does, man. He's been down at NovaCare just all day for the last 3 days. So still down there right now, waiting to finish up with me to get out of there. So well done by Johnny Mac. Great coverage, man. Coverage would be nothing without all you guys listening. So just like I just thanked John, I'll thank each and every one of you guys for being here, for tuning in, for listening to the shows each and every day, each and every episode. We were live a lot today. We were live a lot yesterday. We were live a lot on Thursday. It's been a lot of fun. I got to be honest. I love doing it, man. It's a lot of fun. It's tiring, but it is a lot of fun. So I will probably go live tomorrow at some point just to kind of give a recap on the undrafted free agents and stuff like that. So I'm probably not done, but I do appreciate all of you guys for being here, man. So don't forget to hit that like button again. I don't know who they signed undrafted free agents. I see some of you guys saying they just signed some people. I will look into it. I can give an undrafted free agent report tomorrow. But the draft is concluded. 10 picks for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, that's a lot of bodies, man. That's a lot of dudes. So you heard Johnny Mac. He likes some of those day 3 picks, some of the upside of those guys. I like APR a lot more than John does, but I do get a kick out of, John laughing at the Reddit comment. That was great. So I appreciate you guys making Johnny Mac laugh. So I appreciate all you guys for checking in tonight, man. Hit that like button. Enjoy the rest of your evening, whatever it is you guys got going on. We're sitting pretty in Philly. All right. The Birds are pretty good, man. They got a good roster coming back next year. They just added some good players in the NFL draft. Got a bunch of bodies at the offensive line. I think Jahad Campbell is going to be a great player. Andrew Makuba is the one guy I got questions on. Not many of you are not happy with me because I have questions on Makuba, but I'm sticking to my guns. All right. I'm looking at Makuba in there in the presser and I'm like, this is the big hitter. Wait a second. This is the guy you guys are telling me is the big hitter? Wait a second. Something's not adding up here, all right? But now, look, I hope he has a great career here in Philly, all right? I really do. I hope I'm dead wrong on the guy. So we'll see what happens. But I did have a good weekend, fun to cover the draft with you guys. This was my second one because last year was my first. So it's actually interesting. This is a year anniversary of me doing content. So basically a year ago today is when I took over being a host on the channel, was the draft last year. And so it's pretty cool. Been a fun year, man. Been a fun year. We've grown a lot this year. You guys have been a big part of it, and I do appreciate that. So thank you so much for the fun first year and my fun, very fun second draft covering it. I think we improved a little bit. Hopefully we'll continue to improve each and every day. That's the goal. So thank you all, man. And Rico says, go have a big steak, Z. You deserve it. Rico, that sounds like exactly what I need, brother. So thank you so much. Rico, Abe, my boy Abe. Love you, Abe. I appreciate you, brother. Flexing and Step. What's up, Flex? I appreciate you being here. Curtis, what's up, brother? Thank you so much for being here, my man. Thank Bird Gang. Appreciate you, brother. Jim West says, as long as you're on board with APR going against John. Hey, Jim, I appreciate you making Johnny Mac chuckle tonight, man. That was good stuff by you. Brandon Howard, my boy. Jacob wouldn't be the same without all of you people. So, and B-Pump, I love you, brother. You know I do, even though we go back and forth. Philly Don, one of the best in the business. Philly Don. Thank you, Philly Don, Pat Ryan, all of you guys. All right, thank you so much. David LaPrade, Kirsten, my girl Kirsten, Michael Heft. Thank you all so freaking much. And I'll catch you guys next time.